911, what's the address of your emergency?
The story is true.
Some county justice files.
All true stories on the Summit County Justice Files. It's your weekly dose of law and order, Summit County style, brought to you by Crystal 93 and the Summit County Sheriff's Office. I'm Tom Fricke from Crystal 93, and I'm here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, and we're here to inform and educate and engage with our community.
Now, before we get started, just a quick disclaimer. The Justice Files exclude some of the more serious and sensitive offenses, as well as ongoing investigations that could jeopardize prosecution. And of course, my favorite disclaimer, everyone accused of a crime is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Crime may not pay, but it sure makes for some interesting stories. So buckle up as we dive into the latest criminal activity, the lessons learned, and yes, more than just a few moments of law enforcement levity, because while justice is serious business, a little humor never hurt anyone. Unless, of course, it was a crime of bad jokes.
Then it just hurts our pride.
Yeah. A little bit, not too much.
Not really.
First item, harassment. A resident of unincorporated Breckenridge brought a letter from his homeowners association, his HOA, to the deputies, claiming that he felt harassed. The man had made several noise complaints regarding his neighbor, but ultimately received a letter from the HOA stating that he had violated the noise rules.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that people don't understand that the HOA may have rules, but those aren't laws. Mm-hmm. And so when they call law enforcement to enforce HOA rules or try to get some clarity of HOA rules, and we have to guide them back to their HOA board or president, this was a letter from the HOA advising them of the noise. And he wanted a deputy to figure out for him, but this is just it's an HOA violation. No one ever called law enforcement when the noise was going on. So
how did the HOA find out about the noise?
Well, so what happened was, is obviously his neighbor called the HOA and said, hey, I want to complain. Tom's making a lot of noise over there.
Yeah.
So they sent a letter saying, hey, Tom, knock it off. And, you know, HOAs they can enforce rules and they can put civil fines on that. A lot of people don't know that. I mean, they never do it, but they can. It is one tool that HOAs have, and that's why you have HOA rules.
Do HOAs work with the sheriff's office or law enforcement just to make sure that their rules are in compliance with what the actual law is?
I'm sure they talk to their, you know, HOA associations.
I'm sure they have attorneys.
And attorneys. Yeah, because it's the civil side. So there's the criminal side, which law enforcement gets involved in. Then there's the civil side. There are noise ordinances in Summit County that possibly this noise could fall under if they called during those hours. But this went all through the HOA. But the guy got a great education on, welcome to your HOA.
Exactly. This is where your dues go.
That's what I was going to say. This is where your dues go. You get a letter saying that you're wrong, and you're the one paying the dues.
Let's talk about this threat. A skier at Copper Mountain reported being threatened after a verbal altercation that had occurred over a parking spot. And when the man came back to his car later in that day, he found a napkin on his windshield with a similar non-criminal threat written on it.
You read between the lines, right? A non-criminal threat.
Screw you. Yeah. You park like an idiot.
Hey, as we've seen in skier parking lots, right?
It happens.
Hey, how it looks when you pull in the morning and there's fresh snow on the ground, and how it looks in the afternoon when it's all melted.
Way different.
You're like, I didn't park like that.
Right, yeah. It's like, oh, I guess I did.
We get parking complaints all the time at ski areas. But this one, the guy was gone. The note was left on the car. There was no, like, call me. So there was no way to track this down. But as this note said, that it was nothing criminal, so there was nothing really for us to do. The guy was just upset and wanted to vent to somebody. So he called law enforcement.
We get a lot of that.
I'm sure.
People just want to vent.
Just somebody took my parking spot. I got to yell at somebody.
I'm mad.
Yeah. Call the cops.
I didn't like my burger at the restaurant.
I'm mad.
The cheese wasn't melted.
Oh, my gosh. Not a cheese infraction. Can't have that. There is a hit-and-run incident. A resident in unincorporated Breckenridge reported a suspected drunk driver who had driven off the road and hit a tree 20 feet off the road and in their yard. The driver fled the scene after damaging the resident's property.
911, what's the address of your emergency?
Hey, there's just a drunk guy going up Moonstone Road.
Okay.
In Breckenridge. He actually crashed into a tree into my front yard and broke it down.
Okay.
So it's across my driveway.
So crashed.
And then
there's a vehicle?
Well, he crashed, but he kept going. He crashed across a ditch into a tree in my driveway, crashed across, he went across the street and then crashed into the same ditch again and then continued up the road.
Okay, so is he on foot currently or is still in his vehicle?
No, he's driving. And he was weaving all over the road when he took off.
Did you see a license plate?
No.
Okay.
I just heard it and came outside. Yeah, he came into the dead tree.
And so, do you still see the vehicle?
No, he took off.
And where on the vehicle would the damage be?
Probably on the front.
Certainly not the back, unless he was.
It was dark, and I just saw him, trying to get out of the ditch and then tore off.
Okay.
After he hit the tree, so.
Okay. And you said that he was drunk. How do you know he was drunk?
I don't know. We've had drunks hit things on this road before. It's just the way he was driving and weaving back and forth, so. He was either drunk or having a medical episode. And I don't think anyone crashes. This tree is a good 20 feet into my yard. So, across a very large ditch.
Okay. We do have this information sent out, okay?
Speed bump.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you.
And if you see that vehicle again, give us a call back.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, just slowed him down a little bit. Kept on going.
Apparently. I mean, people don't drive that good on the road.
Yeah.
How do you hit a tree, go through ditch twice, keep going, weaving down the road? And
man, stunt driving.
It's crazy. Hey, you know, I know when we listen to these audio files, sometimes we think it's so funny because of the questions the dispatchers ask.
Right.
You know, like, what does that have to do with anything? The listeners need to understand that many times the dispatchers are following a script and it leads them down a path. And sometimes those questions are repetitive and you think that somewhere it would be caught that some of these questions are repetitive and then they'd be modified. But that's why sometimes you're like, wait a minute. When she goes, well, how do you know he was drunk? Well, I don't.
Yeah.
Where is the damage on the car? It's like, well, it's not in the back.
But they have the script.
They have
they have to follow along. And,
yeah, the reason is because, you know, many times in the moment, especially in a high-stress call,
right,
you could not think of things. And so it's easier just to look at questions that are prompting you to ask the person on the other end of the phone. So that's why. I mean, it is funny for the but I just didn't want people to think, like, what is wrong with those Summit County dispatchers? They're great dispatchers.
They are.
They do
indeed.
A great job.
Yeah, they do.
Save a lot of lives.
Yep. So what happened to the drunk driver?
Oh, so.
do we back, find the car with back, the free damage in the front?
Back to the drunk driver with the tree trunk in his car.
Yeah.
No. The deputies looked around for it, couldn't find it. The next day, the guy that actually called this in drove around, found the car.
Oh, wow.
Called us again. We went out there, and, you know, with the license plate in the car, we were able to figure out who this person was and where they lived. And it turns out that they had a warrant out for their arrest.
Of course.
for a driving violation.
Wow.
Who would have thought? it's an ongoing investigation into the hit and run, but now he'll be charged with that as well. But, you know, you can't make it up.
Does the sheriff's office talk to local body shops
So when the body shop sees a car come in with some obvious damage that probably caused some laws to be broken in the process of that damage, does the body shop get a hold of law enforcement locally and say, hey, you guys might want to come by and take a look at this vehicle?
You know, because we don't, the sheriff's office here in Summit County, we only handle what is called private property accidents. So it happens like this in your front yard.
Right.
We don't do the accidents that happen in the highway or in the roadways. State Patrol does. But that's a great question. Only because we don't handle that many, I would say no. But I would think any smart cop might go by a body shop and go, hey, we got a report of a car yesterday that ate a tree.
Right.
Do you have any cars in here that have a tree in them?
Just checking.
You know, lots of times you got to figure that, you know, private businesses don't want to get in the middle of it.
Right.
Because now they're not only acting as an agent of law enforcement, but then it might scare their customers. Like, oh, yeah, don't go to Tom's body shop because if Tom sees a beer can in the backseat of your car, he's going to call 911.
Well, you know, hey.
Do you have a responsibility?
Right. That whole responsibility thing. Getting in the way again.
Oh, God.
Next item, search and rescue. A couple of individuals drove too far up the road by the Quandary Trailhead, and their vehicle became stuck in the snow. We have radio dispatch audio to listen to.
SF 15, copy of search and rescue. Blue Lick, drive. SF 15, this will be a search and rescue. This is from text message, accuracy is 95% within 20 meters, vehicle issue, stuck in snow, can't get out.
Cop. Summit, Rescue 10, ES.
Rescue 10.
I copy that call at Blue Lakes Road, and this will be on Saros.
Copy that, sir, 2019.
Where did they get stuck in the snow?
So this is on Blue Lakes Road.
Okay.
At the top of, you know, Hoosier Pass.
Uh-huh.
You know, usually this gate, this road is roped off, chained off. And as we know, sometimes these chains, gates, locks get unlocked or, you know, vandalized. And unfortunately, with people either wanting to explore or their GPS in their car taking them where they shouldn't be going. This is another one, and we've talked about these before on other roads here in Summit County.
Oh, yeah.
For whatever reason, people drive until their axles are buried in the snow. It's like at no point do you go, you know, this road doesn't really look like it's plowed. Maybe I shouldn't keep going. And they go, you know, maybe just to the next corner.
To the next turnoff, yeah.
That's what happened. Yeah, right. Yeah, well, I don't know what you're looking for.
Right.
But the cool technology, again, that we talked about on the Justice Files is the text to 911. So that's what they do when they said, we got a text about someone that's stranded.
Okay.
Obviously, this was the middle of the night. Our special operations crew that works the backcountry usually would respond to something like this, and they did from home. But search and rescue was able to get there faster. And the reason why search and rescue was deployed is because we don't know that how far back someone might be stuck. Do we need snowmobiles? Do we need who knows how far? They got pretty far back.
Wow.
Before they sank to their
they were determined.
Oh my.
Determined to go as far as they could.
And no joke, as you started to say, they said they were looking for the next turnaround.
Sure. Yeah.
Jeez.
Some of those mountain roads just don't have turnaround spots until you get to the other side of the pass.
Yeah, and as you know, a lot of those roads, they go up and down, and if you get stuck at the bottom of a down, you're not going to get back up.
Right. Yeah, you got to watch where you're driving, especially this time of year.
Yeah, so our guys made sure the next day that we got a hold of the people responsible for gating that off, and they said that they would either put some boulders there or chain it up for... Well, the snow's all melted now, but I mean, usually now, you know, up there, we'll have 4 or 5 feet of snow on the road.
And now it's all melted.
And now, yeah, if you just would have waited, you would have melted out by now.
Right, eventually. Yeah. How long do you want to wait? That's the question.
Do you have enough food and water? Are you
exactly.
good?
Exactly. Yeah. There is a disturbance. An employer in an unincorporated Keystone called deputies for assistance after an employee who had previously been fired showed up at the workplace and was demanding his paycheck. The ex-employee was causing a disturbance and refused to leave when asked to do so.
Yeah, you know, we used to go to to a lot of these, you know, where the local, because of the seasonal workforce up here, where a lot of these companies would call us to say, hey, we're firing Tom today. Could you have a deputy? Because we don't know how Tom's going to handle it. And as you know, in today's world, these things can, there's a good chance they can go really wrong.
Yeah, you don't know where it's going to go.
Yeah, so these are ones that we take, you know, really serious, especially if it's not a planned one. Like, usually they'll call us ahead of time. This is one where they called because Tom showed up and said, where's my money? The deputies were able to de-escalate the person and explain the process, have HR explain the process of getting your paycheck, and the guy went away peacefully and had no weapons, thank God.
Good.
But, you know, scary stuff. Shouldn't be scary stuff.
No.
Today's world, that's scary stuff.
But it's something that happens, especially around here in a resort community, when you've got a somewhat transient community.
Yeah.
People are coming and going, and they come for seasonal jobs.
Yeah. And you don't really know your employees.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. It's tough for both the employer and the employee.
Yeah. A lot of stress is created.
Yeah.
They don't know each other as well as like we know each other.
Exactly. Yeah. My good buddy Jamie Fitzsimons, the sheriff of Summit County.
I know the sheriff.
We're hanging in the sheriff's office doing the justice files, and you can catch up with us on Crystal 93 Thursday mornings. We get to visit on the air at about 7:45, and we visit briefly, and then here on the justice files, we can go in depth and talk about a lot of other stuff going on in the Summit County area, including illegal camping. Deputies received a report of illegal camping in the open space area near the Blair Witch Trail. A caller reported seeing tents and tarps set up along with two males in the vicinity.
Yeah, you know, we get a lot of this, as you know, especially more and more, you know, I would say over the years, where I would tell you that the transit population living in the forest used to be seasonal. Mm-hmm. With technology and fabrics and everything, people live in the forest year-round. There is no, in Summit County, camping allowed on what we call open space, so land that Summit County owns, government owns. And so the deputies were able to find the camp. No one was there, and so they have no choice but to dismantle the camp, get all that stuff out of there and clean it up. Well, we hope that someone will come. Usually they don't come and claim it, but
right.
Because it's usually a bunch of junk and we have to store it, we hope they come.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
please clean
this
stuff up.
Please come, because it's just it's not like nice camping equipment.
No.
You're living in the forest, you know?
So as far as living in the forest and legal camping, where can people legally camp in Summit County?
Where nobody sees you. No.
Oh, there we go. Okay. So be very, very stealthy.
Oh.
Well, there's U.S. forest land.
Yeah. They have a 14-day limit, though. But, I mean, literally, it's sort of like when you see parking signs in the city, it says 2-hour parking, and you wait 2 hours and you move 5 feet. It's the same thing with camping in the forest.
Yeah.
You have 14 days, and then you move 5 feet, and you go, no, I was camping there the last 14 days. Now I'm over here.
There was a disturbance. A concerned neighbor in Dillon Valley reported hearing a loud bang and then yelling that went on for nearly 20 minutes in a nearby unit. The neighbor only heard one voice but suspected it was a fight between a couple. What was it?
So, I only laugh because we've talked about so many different versions of this on the Justice Files, right? Just
yes.
The little nuances. The deputy responded, knocked on the door, found a woman who was alone in her apartment. And she said that there was no one else there, that she was just having a really bad day, that she was upset with life, and that she was yelling and screaming as she was cleaning her apartment, because what a better way to let your aggression out. Obviously, the deputy looked around to make sure that there wasn't a dead body stashed somewhere that was now silent. But no one was found there, and the deputy, by the conversation, assumed that she was probably arguing with someone on the phone.
Too
embarrassed to say it, and just said, no, I'm all alone. I'm just angrily cleaning.
Scrubbing that stain out. Out, damn stain. So the loud bang, that was just...
Banging around, being mad at life. And, you know, as long as she didn't hurt herself or others...
That's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
Yes.
And we didn't find any dead bodies under the bed or anything.
Even a better thing.
Or
yes.
in the refrigerator.
Right.
Because sometimes...
Did you check the freezer?
check the freezer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this next item, a DUI. A frantic call was received at the Summit County 911 Center reporting a possible motor vehicle accident involving a weapon. As dispatchers worked to gather more information, deputies quickly responded to the scene. And this one, we have body cam audio.
That's a 14-9 scene.
Hey, I'm going to run up and grab a fingerprint reader. They're all saying they have no IDs. Looks like two cars involved. One has damage to it. We had three people that were in this red car, and then the other guy was standing between two. It sounds like they're claiming that one guy, the people in the red car were hit by the other vehicle. There's open containers over. They're all drunk.
Okay, do they say where they were hit?
No, we haven't gotten that far trying to ID them. We haven't found a knife on anyone.
Okay, so that knife thing was just...
They said that he threatened them with a knife, but we haven't found a knife on his person. We don't know if it's in his car.
Okay.
I mean, we had one guy sitting in the red car when we got in here in the driver's seat. Unknown if... I'm assuming the other guy was driving. There's no one else in that other car. Okay. But that's about as far as we've gotten.
Okay. Cool.
Okay.
Thanks.
I'm gonna grab a fingerprint reader.
So what happened?
So this is one where, you know, as you heard on the body cam, that there were several people in this parking lot drinking.
Right.
I guess one of them decided to leave and backed into another, who was also getting ready to leave at the time. They contacted the first driver, who had urinated in his pants. That was the first sign.
Yeah.
Couldn't walk. Couldn't get out of the car. He was going to drive, though. He was fine driving.
Oh, yeah, sure. Of course.
Yeah. They placed him under arrest. Obviously, he was highly intoxicated to the point of, like, barely speaking. So then they go contact the second driver. And they find out that not only is he also intoxicated, but his blood alcohol was nearly double the legal limit.
Whoopsie.
And these two are... I can't believe that someone calls the police to report this. This shows you that... Alcohol and drug impairment, like, don't call the cops when you're
impaired.
When you're impaired.
Yeah.
And you think, like, I'm not that wasted. I'm good.
Right.
Let's call.
Yeah.
You backed into my car, man. That's wrong. I'm calling the police. They're like, I don't know. You're pretty fucked up. You're like, no. No.
Not me.
What? Goodbye. Can you... I know I pissed in my pants, but I'll just say I spilt a beer.
Just one.
Oh, my God.
Just had one.
But, you know, I'm telling you.
So were there arrests made as a result?
Both were arrests.
Yeah, okay.
They were both arrested for being behind the wheel of a car.
There's another DUI incident to talk about. Very early in the morning, a deputy observed a vehicle driving southbound in the northbound lane of Highway 9 in Frisco and immediately initiated a traffic stop. That's kind of a dead giveaway when you're going the wrong way.
Can you imagine...
I can't imagine being a driver approaching the guy coming the wrong way.
How scary is that?
Oh, my God, that's scary.
Yeah, and when you see these, like, sometimes you see these on the news, like, on video of on the interstate.
And it usually...
Your car's going the wrong way.
And it usually winds up in a death.
Yeah. And I can only imagine that even the deputy seeing this is, like, double thinking, like, wait a minute. Is that...
What?
What? Is it... Why? How are we driving in the same lane?
Right.
Who am I... But scary thing for anybody, including the deputy, to see this.
Absolutely.
And, you know, sometimes it's difficult to stop the impaired person because, again, they don't realize they're impaired and they keep going. They don't see flashing lights. Luckily for this person pulled over, obviously highly intoxicated, arrested, went to jail, car impounded. Expensive night.
Yeah. No injuries, thankfully.
No injuries. Thank God this is the middle of the night and no other cars on the road. I mean, it could have been bad.
Another tragedy averted.
Averted.
Thankfully. Trespassing incident. A homeowner reported trespassers at his property after seeing two individuals with flashlights looking around after dark on a security camera.
We have someone unlawfully on our property right now. We have a job site that's in Silverthorne, and I just got the call from the builder that there's someone with a flashlight snooping around the property, and we need someone up there if possible. So there's a new house there. Again, someone with a pickup truck just pulled up. I have camera footage of him up there right now with a flashlight. Just got a call from the neighbor.
And can you tell if the person with the flashlight is male or female, or any kind of description of that person?
No description. So I'm looking at him right now. They're on the property. They're just kind of looking around in their car currently.
Okay.
But again, yeah, they've been on the property for about 15 minutes, and there's no one. Just called, talked with the builder, and he said there's no one authorized to be on the site at this time of night, on a Sunday night especially. So it looks like there might be something fishy going on. I'm looking. Have an access camera to it so I can see. He's on his, moving some kind of stuff.
He's moving things?
It looks like he's moving something with like a flashlight, but again, that's what we're worried about, is if he's stealing on stuff from the site, job site, is right. What we're worried about here.
Yeah, already dispatched, and I will request that the officer give you a call if he has any updates.
Perfect. And I have live footage on it right now. He just looks like he's going in with a flashlight and just kind of snooping around.
Snooping around, suspicious snooping. Flashlight shining about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
As you know, we've had over the years, every year, a number of thefts at construction sites. So this is another one where, again, we take them all seriously. And this is a homeowner whose house is under construction watching this supposed theft going on. And it turns out that these guys were just subcontractors, drywallers.
Oh, no.
That the contractor called and said, "Hey, Tom, I got this small job if you want to go by the house and take care of it." And these guys said he didn't specify any time, and we had some time right now, so we just stopped by the house to do the job. And completely innocent.
Yeah.
And they were able to confirm this with the boss. And it's just interesting the lack of communication between the homeowner and the general contractor.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of anxiety on the part of the homeowner.
Can you imagine?
Just waiting for this new home to be built and then seeing this going on.
This is where technology is not always your friend, right? Because your head is just being filled with, oh my God, they're walking around with flash. And all they were trying to do was find the light switches to the house and seeing if they could just do this minor drywall job in the middle of the night, where I'm sure it was a second, third job to them.
Sure.
And they thought, well, we're on our way home now. Let's just do it now.
Let's knock it out. Did they finish the job?
The deputy said it might be better to do it like during normal daylight hours.
Yeah, and always a good idea.
This was not only on a nighttime, but it was on a weekend.
Oh, geez.
So it made it even look worse.
Right?
Yeah. But they were legit. They were just hardworking people trying to make a few extra bucks.
All right.
Gosh.
Bless their hearts. Missing person item. A man from unincorporated Keystone reported that his roommate missing shortly after midnight, stating that he hadn't seen the roommate for several hours and was unreachable by phone, and the roommate had a history of drug use.
Yeah, so, you know, of course, when you have a friend like this and you call the police and they do go missing, all of a sudden you just let all their secrets go, right?
Of course.
Like, oh, and
Tom, wait, let me tell you about that one night.
So, you know, because again, your mind is painting this horrible picture and you just want the cops to find him.
Right. You're worried.
You're
concerned.
You are concerned.
Yeah.
And wait, did I tell you? And wait.
Oh, and he has this stash of acid that's in this in his drawer. Let me show you that too.
Oh,
and,
my God.
And the fentanyl that he brought in.
Yes.
We've got to.
And he's known to be armed, and he might have a gun on him. And
even better.
And last year when we robbed that liquor store, he didn't really mean it.
Right.
But,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So was this roommate found?
Well, the deputies went, of course, looking for him. They entered him into the big national system, which we do right away. You know, missing persons, or people think like, you know, there's various time frames you have to wait. Law enforcement, especially here in Colorado, we report them right away. The guy showed up 24 hours later back at home, and he just, I love the way the younger generation thinks. Like, he didn't have a phone charger and the phone died, so he just went off the radar until he came home. There was no way to notify anybody.
Huh. Okay.
My phone died.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So what?
You were worried? Oh, God. You didn't.
You didn't tell the cops about the liquor store, did you?
Well, as a matter of fact, I kind of said, I didn't tell them the whole story, though. But
now the cops are looking for you. They want to talk to you.
Yeah, yeah. They have some questions.
We got some questions for you.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that good? Yeah, be careful what you tell the cops when you call 911.
So the roommate came back. Everything was fine and dandy.
He was fine.
He's not missing.
Hey, as we always talk about, I'm sure there's more to the story. Like, I have questions. Like,
right.
Okay, so where were you for the last 24 hours?
Yeah.
But his thing was, hey, my phone died. I didn't have my charger. And what's the big deal?
Whatever.
Hey.
Didn't think anybody would be looking for me.
Hey.
Holy cow. Well, all's well that ends well.
We have one more here.
Another item.
5278 we didn't do. You have an audio file for
it. Oh, an audio file, too?
Wow. Yeah. You got to find it there on your sheet as well.
What's the story about?
This is the Sapphire Point. The lady found the sheet, thought it was a body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's listen to this call in.
Yeah, let's listen to
this.
This
is a good one.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm a volunteer with Friends of the Dillon Ranger District. And so I adopt Sapphire Point, and I went up this afternoon to get some end of the season cleaning done. So if you go in about 80 steps from where the map is there at the end, it's at the opposite end of the parking lot from there, and just a little piece up the hill, it's like a white sheet maybe, and I went, you know, like to get it out of there, you know, because I was cleaning up.
Okay.
But it looked like a person or something. It just was so gross.
Okay, did it look like there was a person under the blanket, or that there was a person living in it?
In it.
Okay. I'll get this over to someone and have them go check it out and get that out of there for you, okay?
Can you give me a call back and say then everything's okay?
Yep, I'll make enough to have them call you back when they're done.
Wow, very concerned citizen there.
What if everything isn't okay? Do you want to hear that too? I mean, I like how positive she is, where she says, can someone call me and let me know that everything's okay?
Right.
What if it isn't? Because we've had these.
Well, I know.
We've talked about these where we find bodies. This is one, God bless this person. She's a volunteer that looks after these trailheads. And, you know, she thought she found a body under a white sheet. And it turns out it was a coat that someone had discarded. Probably the snow melted.
Yeah.
They probably threw it on top of the snow. It snowed. Who knows? People go up to, you know, this is a really popular place, Sapphire Point.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And it turned out just to be a white coat that someone had tossed, you know, like a long coat.
Right.
And there was no body under it.
Thankfully.
And there's nobody attached to it.
Oh,
and they
boy.
Were able to call her and tell her,
hey
happy ending.
It's
there was
all good.
Nothing under there.
Did we find a owner's name tag on the coat by any chance? And we could call the owner and
maybe.
Get it back? Maybe.
Yeah. But, you know, God bless these volunteers we have that keep, like, she watches a couple trail. I know this person, sweet woman, that monitors a few trailheads and cleans up after people. And
these are Friends of the Dillon Ranger District.
These are Friends of the Dillon Ranger District.
The FDRD at work.
Like all of our volunteers here, including like our search and rescue team.
Yeah.
All of our volunteers here in Summit County. I mean, the magic would not have, this would not be a unicorn community without them. I mean, they do so many things in so many ways for so many people.
And we appreciate all of their efforts across the board.
Yes.
Making so many great community contributions. It's really cool.
It's cool.
And it's even better when there's nothing bad that happens at the end.
When we can call her back and say there was nothing bad.
That's a wrap for this week's Summit County Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. And remember, knowledge is power. And a little laughter along the way doesn't hurt either.
Yeah, and just so we're clear, our coverage doesn't include every crime. We leave out the most serious and sensitive cases, and all of our suspects are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. With that said, stay safe, stay informed, and if you're thinking about committing a crime, well, remember, it never ends well, and you might just end up as our next feature.
This is the Summit County Justice Files, where law meets laughs and justice always has the final say. Until next time, that'll be a wrap for us. And you can always find the Summit County Justice Files on the Summit County Sheriff's Office website, that web address, summitsheriffcolorado.gov. And as always, Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, thank you for your service.
Hey, thank you, Tom.